your Bibles ready at Matthew 2 and John chapter 1. Matthew 2, and I'm going to read from John 1. Matthew 2, I'm going to read from verse 13. No, verse 12. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be filled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And then if you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, God bless to us that reading from his word. As we continue going through the alphabet, using the various letters, to use those letters to look at things concerning Jesus, I've got to be honest with you. When I was doing it ahead of time, I never thought that the letter N would be a problem. But when you actually look, N is a very difficult word to find a description of Jesus using. But of course, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And that's what I want to consider this evening. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to Nazareth to give a message to a young woman that was there Mary, engaged to a man called Joseph, and to give this amazing message that she would miraculously conceive and give birth to a son, and that son would be no other than the Son of God, the promised Messiah, who would reign over an everlasting kingdom. Now, Nazareth at that time was somewhere between a small city and a large town. It was 70 miles northeast of Capernaum, Jerusalem, to the west of Capernaum, and not far from Cana, that you read of in the Word of God. It was a very insignificant place. It's not mentioned when you think of all the places mentioned in the Old Testament where things took place. It's not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. It was prophesied of Jesus, of course. He would be despised and rejected of men. And Nazareth was a place that the rest of Israel somewhat despised the people who came from Nazareth. To come from Nazareth was to be looked upon as somebody of low birth. And though Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem because of the taxing at that time, and though they were warned by God of Herod's intention to kill their child and to flee to Egypt, then when Herod dies, they're told to return to Israel. And in the reading in Matthew 2, we see it was Nazareth where they went to live. They went back to Nazareth. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ grew up and spent his time. In actual fact, the vast majority of his life was spent in Nazareth. But people from Nazareth were generally looked down upon as being of low degree. I don't know whether we've got anywhere like that in this country you'd say that of. If we have, I'm not going to try and do it anyway because I might get into trouble. But people from Nazareth were very much looked down upon in Israel. So much so that when Philip comes to faith in the Lord Jesus and he goes and finds Nathanael and he gives Nathanael, we've got real good news. We have found the promised Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth's reply is, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He can't believe the person that Philip's talking about can really be the Messiah. As far as he was concerned, this was a general attitude in Israel, that nothing good came out of Nazareth. Never mind the Messiah that God had promised to send. To be from Nazareth was really to be a very lowly person in the eyes of the rest of Israel. The evil spirits often referred to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. It may have been to identify him from others with that name because it wasn't a unique name. There were others called Jesus at that time. But it may have been expressing their contempt for the one who would actually destroy them. When Jesus confronts the man in Capernaum who had an evil spirit, he was demon-possessed. This is what the evil spirit says. Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And the evil spirits did recognize Jesus in that way, Jesus of Nazareth. Now Jesus, after performing various remarkable miracles in Capernaum, he went back to Nazareth, where he was well known, where he'd lived for the vast majority of his life. But as he returns there, he is met by a great deal of unbelief and skepticism that this man who they knew well, they knew his family, could possibly be the promised Messiah, the God the Son. Over the years, Jesus would have gone regularly to the synagogue there in Nazareth. And on the return there, he goes there once again on the Sabbath day. And he stands up in the worship service to show he wanted to participate. That's what you did. And the head of the synagogue agrees. And he gives Jesus Isaiah's prophecy, which he reads from. reads from chapter 51 and chapter 58, and then he gives the book back and he sits down, and then he starts to speak on what he's read from the Word of God. And everybody's eyes would have been fastened upon him. He was somebody they knew. He was somebody that they'd heard was doing remarkable things and come back to Nazareth once again. And here he is now going to teach us in the synagogue. They wanted to know what he had to say. And he announced, really, that he was the Messiah anointed of Almighty God. At first they were amazed because of his eloquence, the power, the authority with which he spoke. They never heard the like, and they couldn't understand how somebody who was the son of Joseph the carpenter could be such an incredible orator and speak with such power and such authority. But also they were filled with skepticism that he could possibly be claiming to be the Messiah when he came from Nazareth. Even the people of Nazareth themselves looked upon themselves as being really nothing. And there's no way the Messiah was going to come from our community. And Jesus says to them, "You're likely to quote to me the proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" It has the idea, fancy seeking to heal somebody of a condition that you have yourself. First heal yourself and then show that you can heal somebody of that condition. And the idea was, we've heard of the miracles that you perform in Capernaum. We'll do those miracles again here in Nazareth, and we will believe you are who you claim to be. Jesus responds by identifying their unbelief. They find it so difficult to believe one of their own from Nazareth could be the promised Messiah. They couldn't accept it. They were not willing to acknowledge him as such. And Jesus speaks of Elijah. The people didn't acknowledge him as own people, and he went to the widow of Sarepta. And so often this is the case. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And that can often be the case for somebody. If they achieve something in life, they could be very well known and held in high esteem, but not so much exactly where they came from. And that was the case here in Nazareth. But he was not going to do what they wanted. He wasn't going to perform some miracle to show he was who he claimed to be, because he knew it would make no difference. If he'd even done miracles as they wanted, that he'd done in Capernaum, he knew the people of Nazareth would not accept the idea that somebody from Nazareth, one of their own, could possibly ever be the Messiah promised by God. So Jesus spent most of his life in a place that was held in contempt by the people of Israel. And the people of Nazareth themselves held Jesus in contempt as well. I always remember, you know, years ago, I've told you this, we had BBC coming to hear us singing at school, and, you know, the headmaster got us all in, and we were all singing, all stood up, and he walked down the rows, and he said, "You sit down, you sit down." There were about 350 lads, seven of us sat down, got taps on the shoulder. He said, "The seven got sat down." He said, "We don't want you anymore. You can go because you can't sing." So the seven of us made our way out. And as we got out, the other lad said to me, "And you're the worst." That was very much the situation with the Lord Jesus Christ here. Nazareth was despised, held in contempt, and even the people of Nazareth held Jesus in contempt, and they despised him. "Who do you think you are, telling us from Isaiah that you are the promised Messiah?" But then later in his ministry, there's a man blind, Bartimaeus, and he can't see, but he hears a commotion. It must be very strange to be blind when you think about it. You know, you hear a great deal of noise. It's not normal, you'd be, and you can't see, you'd be thinking, "What on earth is that?" And he asks what it is. and he's told Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But he doesn't hold Jesus in contempt, but in faith. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they try and shut him up, but he won't be shut up. And again he says, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus asks for him to be called and brought to him. And he does a very strange thing. He asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Of course, he knows only too well. But he wants him to verbally express it. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus says that this man will receive his sight. His faith in Jesus of Nazareth wasn't misplaced. He'd heard Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He believed he could heal him. And he found remarkably he was healed of his blindness. And he immediately followed and gave glory to God at the miracle that had taken place in his life. Peter was a man who thought highly of himself at one particular time. He certainly thought he's somebody that would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought, if people are going to deny him, I won't. In actual fact, so strongly did he believe that, he said he would die before he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus tells him different. Jesus says, you'll deny me three times. And when Jesus is taken, Peter goes and he's by a fire, and a maid comes along and says, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter denied it. He quite literally says, I don't know what you're talking about. He was so self-confident, and he's brought down so low, so suddenly. And of course, you know, he eventually weeps bitterly. We shouldn't be self-confident that we won't deny Christ, because there are lots of ways of denying Jesus. By what we do in our lives, things that we're doing, we could be denying the Lord Jesus Christ, even if we weren't verbally with our lips. Then, when the temple police come with Judas, Jesus asks them, who are you seeking? And their answer was, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replies, I am he. And he says it with such unequaled power that they fall back to the ground. And he asks once again, who are you seeking? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. But the effect of his words had had upon them in such a physical way probably causes these men to realize, yes, he's Jesus of Nazareth, but is he perhaps then who he claimed to be? Is he God the Son? Is he the promised Messiah? When his words can have such a profound physical effect upon us in this way. When Pilate eventually gave in to pressure and gave Jesus to be taken to be crucified with two others, he put a title on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. They said to change it. He said he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate replied, what I've written, I will keep just as I've written it. And so that title was there when Jesus was crucified. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But Pilate didn't have it fully right, did he, really? He's the King of the Jews, but he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you go into Acts, you find Peter particularly often refers to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. When he preaches on the day of Pentecost, he speaks of Jesus of Nazareth, who is approved of God by the miracles that he performed, but in the plan and purpose of God, who was put to death by crucifixion and rose again from the dead. But he makes clear they're held responsible for what they have done. With wicked hands, you crucified and slain Jesus of Nazareth. In the other week we saw when Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And there's a man there who can't walk and he's begging for money. And they say, silver and gold we can't give to you. We're going to give you something far, far better. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he stands up, he walks, and he starts jumping around. Then later, the Jewish authorities want to question Peter and John about this miracle. You know, in whose name have you done this? By whose authority? And they reply, be it known unto you and to all people that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. By him was this man made whole. And then later, when Peter comes to Cornelius and is being made aware by God that the gospel, salvation, is to go to the Gentiles, he says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing those oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. But then you think of the Apostle Paul. Recently we looked at Paul speaking to Agrippa. And when he was speaking to Agrippa, he makes it clear to Agrippa his own personal testimony, that he was now a Christian. He had come to faith in Christ, but he tells Agrippa, this wasn't always the case. He says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, one of the things contrary to his name was to persecute those who professed faith in him. And on his way to Damascus to further do this, he is met by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks to him, and he wonders, who is this? And Jesus replies, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And in the grace of God, he came to faith in Christ, faith in Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus was even prepared to use this title of himself. I am Jesus of Nazareth. It was a title which many used of him to hold him in contempt and to despise him. It was a title many others used of him to show exactly who he was, the Jesus who came from Nazareth, and also to point out their faith in him and their worship for him. Sadly, many didn't realize that Jesus who lived in Nazareth all those years ago was far more than a great teacher, a great leader, or a mighty prophet. When Jesus appears to the two on the road to Emmaus, and they're very sad, and he asks them, why are you so sad? They say, don't you know? Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, the people condemned to death and crucified, certain ones are saying, the angels said, he is alive. What they say is good as far as it goes. A prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But of course, Jesus of Nazareth was far, far more than that. He was God the Son. He was the only Saviour that God had promised to send. So you see, Jesus of Nazareth is either held in contempt by people, or trusted in and followed as their Lord and Saviour by people, the one who died for their sins and rose again from the dead, who was exalted to God's right hand in glory, who lived the vast majority of his life in despised Nazareth, a place that was looked down upon, and he was despised and rejected of men. And yet, he's God the Son, there in human flesh. He's our Saviour, who died for our sins. So who do we trust in? The Lord God. Who do we trust in? God the Son, as our Saviour. Who is our Saviour? Jesus of Nazareth, who was put to death on the order of Pilate, who died for sins and rose again from the dead.